Jason Manford.
Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
Good morning. It's the Jason Manford Show on Absolute Radio. Steve Edge is here.
Morning. Whoop, whoop. Raise the roof.
I feel exactly the same.
Yeah.
At this hour of the morning, yeah. Mm. Do you have that, like, wonder what the medical term for, like, morning voices? Do you have that sort of, like, when you're, like...
Oh, it's all Louis Armstrong.
Yeah, why is that?
Louis.
If you want, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I guess a touch of Louis would work. What is that? Is it because your voice box is just
not waking up? Yeah, it's still asleep, isn't it? It's gone a bit. I would have said it's gone.
Yeah,
it's not gone tight, has it? I feel like your voice would be higher if it went tight. So it's just gone really relaxed and just sort of chilled out. And then you woke up and it's gone. What's going on? It's just really.
Is there sort of time in the morning you could do like a good Morgan Freeman or a.
Yeah. Well, we were doing Leonard Cohen last week, weren't we?
We did do Leonard Cohen last week, yeah.
Oh, Leonard Cohen.
We have all the time in the world. I could do a Louis Armstrong, actually.
Yeah.
I reckon I could get a... And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Yeah.
It's a bit... I like the end of his song. Yeah.
Have you heard his version of the When You Wish Upon a Star, the Disney song?
When you wish.
It doesn't sound anything like it.
Does it not?
My son heard it in the car. He was singing it. It was on one of the radio stations. And then he got halfway through the song and he went, oh, it's the Disneyland song. It didn't sound anything like it. I never thought When You Wish Upon a Star is a Disneyland song, but it is, isn't it?
Yeah, of course.
But you just don't, you know.
When you wish upon a star,
it's
who you are.
No, that's the tune. He's not doing that. He's doing something else. He's doing his own thing.
Maybe I could do Louis Armstrong on like a radio version of Stars in Your Eyes.
That's a good idea, actually. A radio, yeah.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't be able to do the television, but...
No, that's probably a bit frowned upon there.
No, I think you won't get away with that. But,
I mean, any time I think it would have been frowned upon.
I don't know. The world has changed, thankfully, for the better.
I think even in the sort of 90s, if you'd gone on
the 90s,
Stars in Your Eyes and gone... No, early 90s and gone in Stars in Your Eyes and go, I want to be Louis Armstrong. They'd have gone, get out. And rightly so.
Yeah. But 1972, if they had that show.
Maybe, yeah.
They would have been batting an eyelid. Yeah, isn't it funny how those things, like things, you know, even in our lifetime, things have moved on and changed for the better, I hope, as well. You know, and wondering, like, in years to come, there'll be, like, words and phrases we're using now that our grandchildren will be like, you don't say that anymore, Grandad?
Yeah, they will, yeah.
They will, won't they?
They will.
We just don't know what they are yet. It's a funny old world, isn't it? Funny.
It's a funny old world. Oh, yeah.
Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
I had a doctor's appointment this week, Steve.
Oh, right. Nothing serious.
I've got a clicky ankle.
So it was a clicky ankle, a clicky shoulder with you, isn't it?
Oh, mate, honestly. Well, I had an operation on my ankle last year. And where I had this, like, bone spur.
Oh, yeah.
On the bottom of the shin. I got it shaved off and all that so I could get a better range of movement. And anyway.
It was like, well, shave it off. How do they do that? With, like, put your leg... in a vice, and like they get a plane out and just
I don't know why.
Keep going at it.
I was asleep.
Could have been.
Yeah, I didn't really ask, to be honest. But yeah, I think I've got two little scars. So I guess one's gone in, like a little camera's gone in one side and the other side, maybe a little nail file.
Okay.
The other side. I don't know. But I went in with a clicky ankle. And I know it sounds like a silly thing to see a doctor about. But I booked it in and I was like, no, I'm getting this sorted because it's so loud, Steve. This, honestly.
If you're doing musical theatre and you do a tap dance, it's going to sound like you're out of time, isn't it? Because there's something else clicking.
Exactly.
You know, so it's part of your job.
I was filming something recently for Children in Need where I had to walk and talk and the boom guy kept going, is your lace slapping against you?
No, that's my ankle.
I was like, no, it's my actual ankle, mate. I have to wear thick socks.
What, to deaden the sound?
Yeah, it's like audible. It's like an audible click, and you know that sort of like old Louis C.K. bit about like just when you're over 14, you're like, that's just your ankle now. Like,
that's why it's, yeah, that's it. Yeah.
But I was like, no, I'm refusing to accept that. It's like, I can't sneak up on anybody anymore, Steve. Not that I was doing a lot of that.
No, you can hop quietly. I'm not quietly.
Saying stop me from joining.
Can you hop quietly?
Yeah, you can't hop quietly, can you? It's impossible. No. So the sneaking up, my kids can hear me come. You know when you like try and sneak in on your kids, like, what's going on in here?
Yeah.
They know I'm coming.
Yeah. Hang on, listen. Click, click.
Exactly.
It's going up the stairs. We've got about 45 seconds.
So honestly, I run up and downstairs like West Side Story.
Yeah.
Non-stop clicking all over the place. So I thought, right, I'm going to sort this out. So I saw a doctor about it. And anyway, he then, this is I've got a private GP. You know, she can't get into a GP anymore.
Yeah.
So I thought I'll take myself out of the system and book it privately. So I've gone there. And this is the problem with private medicine. He then diagnosed four other things.
Oh yeah, I didn't ask for this. Oh, I see. So it's like going to a car mechanic and going, "This, I think that front tire's flat." And he's going, "It is flat, but also your exhaust is leaking. You've your sump's gone."
Exactly what happened.
It's exactly like going to Quick Fit, but with body parts.
But with your body. So I've gone in with a clicky ankle, come out with three things that I didn't know was wrong with me that he's managed to fix. I didn't even know there was those things wrong. He's like, "Oh, you'll need this brace." He's like, "Oh, you need a." It's called a jazz brace.
That sounds good. Yeah, I'll take
it's
two
right
of those.
Right up my street, Steve. He said, "Oh, you need
just
a jazz
saying,
brace.
Special birthday coming up soon. I don't mind a jazz brace."
Cheeky jazz brace for the ankle, which apparently, like, you sort of fit to your foot. I just looked at it online the other day. Fit to your foot, and it, like, because I've got really, like, I've got, I don't know what, I've got tight Achilles, like, and essentially, you think that's what's causing it all.
Okay.
And it means that I pull my calf quite a bit doing any sport and stuff like that.
And then you walk different and that hurts your back and it all sort of goes up, doesn't it?
And then your hips, your lower back, everything. It's all connected, you know. 12 times your body weight goes through your ankle, Steve.
12 times?
12 times
happen?
Your body weight. I guess just the force of it, you know.
Oof. 12 seems... doesn't seem to make sense, 12, because you've only got one, haven't you? I mean, if you jumped off a building, but I mean...
Yeah, I don't know.
How often are you doing that? Well, would explain the clicky ankle.
Yeah, I'm not a scientist. I don't know, but that's what he said. So I looked online. I thought, well, that does look quite relieving. Actually, it sort of stretches your foot up, and you sort of wear it for 15 minutes a day or whatever, and it sort of gradually stretches you. Now,
right.
Okay, that looks good. Went online, £650.
Oh, that is not.
I
jazz.
Was like, that's all that jazz.
Yeah, all
I was
that
like,
jazz.
Nah, do you know what, mate?
No.
I think I'll just
do you know what I mean?
I'll just stretch it on a step.
I'll just do that. Like you stretch out, what's it called? Plantar fasciitis. That thing
exactly.
When you pull you at that.
I'll just do a bit of that. But that is the flip side of it. Yeah, I came out thinking, oh, he's fixed three things there that I didn't know were wrong.
Do you reckon they've sat round and gone, right, we need to sell this band that goes round, stretches your Achilles.
Well,
no one's gonna
this
600
is the problem,
quid,
isn't it?
No one's gonna buy that. Why don't you put jazz in front of it? People will. Why don't you call it a jazz bracelet? Yes. Well,
I think it's jazz, like with an S. I think it's like
oh,
joints,
that's a shame.
Joints,
Achilles, stretcher.
Yeah, something like that. I think it stands for something.
Oh,
I think.
That's good.
I know. I was disappointed because I was actually Googling jazz.
I thought it'd be like rainbow colours and have like, you know, beads on it and stuff. And
yeah, no, none of that. Because I was actually going online and Googling jazz brace, you know, just, and I was like, why am I not getting anything here? Jazz brace, I was Googling the wrong thing. But this is the danger we're in, aren't we? We're sort of in this sort of, as they sort of, you know, tighten the NHS and all that and sort of let it fall apart, is a lot of people are going to be forced into that. And then you do end up in a situation where, like America, where, I'm not saying that this doctor in particular, but, you know, doctors getting a little backhand from a
jazzbrace.com.
You know what I mean? You go in with a bad shoulder, he goes, you need a jazz brace. You're like, what?
Yeah. What? There's a jazz brace for the shoulder now? Yeah. Endorsed by Louis Armstrong. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
When you stretch it out, that's what it does. Oh, yeah.
If we can make sure every link today finishes.
Louis Armstrong.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, we can try our best. I'm sure we can manage it. I've got faith in us.
Manford.
Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
I feel like we might have to start a Greg chat, Steve. We seem to talk about Gregs quite a lot at the moment.
Hashtag Greg chat.
Hashtag Greg chat. There's a news story this week. John Dawes, he's called, who even has a themed tattoo to show his love for the bakery chain.
What's his tattoo of? The Greg's logo?
Just
or
the Greg's logo, I think, yeah.
All right, okay.
He managed to eat 21 meat-filled pastries in 30 minutes during the Guinness World Record bid, which is expected to bag him the new record.
30? What, how many?
So 21 in half an hour.
I reckon I could have a go at that.
Steve, I, as soon as I read it, that's what popped into my head. I know.
Just to match that.
I've seen this man knock 4 out in 30 seconds.
Hang on, but he's obviously privy to the Gregulator that we were talking about, because he couldn't eat the hot ones at that
speed. Oh, you couldn't eat the hot ones.
So they're like warm to cold, aren't they? Maybe the cold would be, he'd have to have an ambient temperature that he's happy with, which would go against the Greggs being a fast food takeaway or a bakery.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. Yeah, they'd have to pay VAT and stuff. Yeah. But yeah, he's 7,000 calories he smashed there. Wow.
Good lad.
That's amazing. He sat in front of a stack of 48 sausage rolls last week, managed nearly half of them, and he's now got a new tattoo as well. He said that
I'm just trying to imagine his wife or his partner or whoever just going past going, what are you doing? Get a job. I'm breaking a Guinness Book of Record, actually. Like, you know.
Mouthful, pastry all down his top.
Oh, I've lost 30 seconds there. Arguing with you.
John says, I've always loved sausage rolls. After swimming as a kid, I always used to have one with tomato sauce. They remind me of my childhood. So doing the sausage roll challenge, I love the way he's made it sound like it's...
Oh, it was sausage rolls.
Yeah, sausage rolls. Yeah, what did you
think?
I
thought it was like a steak bake or a chicken.
No, sausage rolls. That's what I said.
It's even easy. No, but I was laughing at the steak. I thought I could do the steak bake one, but the sausage roll one. This is that's three bites if you know what you're doing.
This guy sounds like a pro, Steve. But I think we should try it one day. Okay. I think maybe starve yourself one day. I will just go at the end of by 30.
I
could be a Guinness Book.
I might get later on. I might go down there and just get like four and just see how long it takes me. Time the four and go, yeah, I could do that.
And that works out. Right, great. Look at that. We could have a record holder on this show.
It's hashtag bin chat.
Hashtag bin chat.
Hashtag bin chat.
Bin chat. Bin chat. Bin chat. Bin chat. Bin chat. Bin chat. Bin chat. Bin chat. Bin chat. Bin chat.
Now, bin chat was a huge deal, wasn't it, during. Lockdown, post-lockdown. It was sort of the only thing, you know, we had that joke, didn't we, about it was the only time you went out and all that sort of stuff. So that's why it's even infiltrated into my current stand-up show. I do a little bit about bins as well. Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
And we chat about it. But then obviously post-lockdown, we're a year on now, sort of over a year, and gradually, naturally, it's gone. By the way, so this is what happens with features. But then, Steve, this morning, we get a message from Ryan Woods.
Okay.
Out of nowhere. Morning, Jason and Steve. You asked for them, so here it is. I need a bit of life advice from the bin ambassadors and general advice guys, because you know, you're advice guys and gym
general.
Guys
I like general guys. Advice guys. I'd like that on a business card.
Yeah, I want it to be a capital G, like an actual general.
Yeah, no, I don't. I want it to be in quotation marks, general advice guy.
And kaftan guys as well, as he includes that. The wife said to me the other day, that's how he started this. The wife said to me the other day, it's bin night, don't forget. And well, I did. Cut to me, 7 o'clock, chasing a bin lorry down the street in my dressing gown and slippers. We've all been there. We've all been there, Ryan.
We have, yeah.
As I did the walk of shame back, dragging my very full bin home, my elderly neighbours looked at me and said, "Here, son, you need the space this week. Stick it in mine." What a saint. Now, what I don't think he realised and what I've not mentioned is I have a one-year-old toddler. And, as I'm sure you both all feel familiar with, those cute little faces and innocent eyes are only telling half a story.
Yes.
He's well aware of my daughter and has often said hello and had a little chat with her. I don't know if I can bring myself to use his bin and fill it with... Well, you know what?
Yes.
The last thing I need to do is quite literally dump on his goodwill. What do you recommend? I can't keep them in the house. They stink. My bin is full, so he's really my only option. Little bit more info. The bins are washed every time they go out, but it's the in-between. I don't want him to go out taking out his rubbish and be faced with dirty, smelly nappies. They're in nappy sacks, but that comes out. The girl transcends any masking scent. Any advice is welcome. So what do we think for Ryan?
I mean, the old fella's offered it up. He's aware of what his deal he's making with the devil right there.
Of course.
He knows what, you know, this child has produced. It is outside. You know, every time he opens it, maybe deaden it with, maybe you want to throw a couple of sheets away that week, just on top, just to hold the smell down. If you've got a couple of old
those things that you throw in the dryer, you know, that smell nice.
Mm, yeah, a couple of them. And maybe, like, asbestos sheets. Any of them?
Asbestos.
Pop them in the old bloke's bin.
Just see what you can get rid of. I mean, I think you're all
deadening
it, right?
It's deadening it, isn't it? You know, if you've got, like, a load of talc you want to get rid of, or a load of, a flour that's maybe you bought some bread flour during lockdown, you're going to make your own bread, never got around to it, that's probably past its best now.
It's got those things in it.
You know, but then you're messing his bin up even more, but not with smell. I mean, it's tricky, isn't it?
What I would say is everyone is aware that rubbish stinks.
Exactly.
That, you know, when he offered that, he wasn't thinking, right, I've got a threshold. I've got a smell threshold.
Yeah.
You can use it, but only within these parameters. I just don't think, you know, I think he was being a nice fella. You know, so I just wouldn't worry about it.
And that's it, isn't it? That's all we know about the old fella. He wasn't like one of the world's most famous sort of noses in the perfume industry, and he's got like a really acute sense of smell. No. Because that would change, you know, that would change my opinion.
I think Ryan would have included that in the information.
I would like to think so.
I think those nappy bags, maybe double bag.
Yeah, you could get all, if you want to really want to, you could take all the nappies that are in the nappy bag and maybe in the nappy bin spiral snake of death thing.
I mean, if it is a little, how old is his little one?
You said one.
Oh, one, because they're getting a bit solid by then, aren't they?
Yeah, they're on solids now.
I was going to say, you could probably...
Yeah, the breast milk one, you can get away with that,
If I'm with the breast milk ones, that's just like a sickly sweet smell, isn't it? But yeah, once they're starting on solids, it's like, what has this child
different story. You should maybe say, just knock on the fella's door when he opens it, just go, she's on solids, just to see what he says.
Maybe have one in your hand.
Yeah, by the way, it's solids, just so you know. I really appreciate the sentiment. But she's on solid.
Sentiment as well. Little pun there, Steve.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
I like it. All right. Well, I hope that helps, Ryan. I hope our advice has helped. I think absolutely go for it. You know, this man has shown goodwill, and it's absolutely fine to abuse that.
Jason Manford on Absolute Radio.
We have got the always very funny Jason Byrne on the show. Morning, Jace.
Morning, how are you, lads? You all right?
Yeah, good.
Yet again.
Not too bad. I know, lovely to chat to you again. How's it been going? You're still on tour?
Yeah, I'm on tour here. I'm just leaving today, so I am in an airport, so if anything happens, I've come to a corner of the airport where I think there's no speaker, but it always finds you, doesn't it, the speaker?
Yeah,
it'll always
be something.
Find you.
Can Mr. Byrne please come to gate 43? That's what you don't want to hear.
Here, is it illegal to go up to the speakers and just have a mess with them yourself? Do you mean, can you get
No, I don't. I haven't seen it written down anywhere that that's illegal. That sounds about right, doesn't it? I think whispering's illegal
for the first
in an airport.
I know what.
Whispering on a phone in a corner. Yeah,
in a corner, talking about ripping the speakers off the wall.
Oh, no.
Oh, there it is.
Oh, God.
Sorry. You know
so what airport are you at? Where are you heading to?
I'm kind of heading back to Dublin, right? So what's happened is there's no planes near me. There's no planes where I am in this corner, right? And that guy, I think, just announced that there's probably no planes in this area. I think that's what he did.
When are you back there? Because you've got to come back soon, haven't you? You're at Leicester Square Theatre soon.
Yeah, I'm at Leicester on the 27th, 28th and 29th of October, which is, that's next week. So it's like near Halloween. Yeah. Bit of a Halloween gig in London, which would be great crack,
nice.
You know? That's a venue where I've had the longest heckle I've ever had, which took about 15 minutes. That was in there.
A long heckle? How did you get a 15-minute heckle?
Because I'm able to post it up, actually record it in what happened last time. I said, was there anybody here from Scandinavia? And people were like, no, yeah. And then the woman went, yeah. and it was an Irish woman. And I went, oh, are you from Scandinavia? And she went, well, no, not really. She goes, my friend Michelle is going to Norway on Friday. going, but that doesn't mean you're from there, love. And you're not even going. Your mate is going.
I love one of those. I had one of those that last night, Durham Gala. Yeah. You are on the 4th of November.
Oh, I love that place.
And I... Yeah, it's a lovely theatre. I was there last night, did a couple of shows. And I had one last night where I asked on the front row, I was asking about non-essential jobs during lockdown. I was just talking about, you know, what jobs you did during lockdown. I was like, who's... I often try and find the most non-essential, non-essential in the room. And and this woman put her hand up and said, oh, me. And but when I went to her, I could see straight away, she went, oh, I've made a mistake here. Like straight, but I was already committed. And I was like, well, what do you do? She said, well... before lockdown, and then she told me what job she did before lockdown, and then during lockdown, she did something, and then after lockdown, and now, she basically gave me a full CV. This is exactly what I've been up to and what I'm doing next.
Oh my God. Well, do you know what I found out though, Jace, is that I've had a couple of people, if I say, I don't know, let's say, is there any plumbers in the audience or something like that? I have had people shout out, yeah. And I went, oh, are you a plumber? And then they go, well, no. And I go, well, why did you shout out? And they say, and this is quite common with British and Irish people. They went, I thought it would help you. I thought you needed a plumber in the office.
Just helping you out.
And so that's happened to me loads.
I know. It's sometimes as well. I've had that thing where you've gone to sort of say something, you know, and somebody's give you a heckle, and then you go back. I call it the heckle and hide, because they shout something. And then you go, what was that? And then nothing. Like they died gone. Instantly as soon as they said it out loud. Like, where did they go? No, it's so weird.
I said that sometimes they think they're watching the telly when they're in the audience with us. And so it's like as if they're shouting at the telly, and I think they don't realise what they've done. So you say something,
the telly can hear them.
You say something, they go, ah, and they go, oh, Jesus.
I heard that.
Jay, stay there, mate. We'll come back to you in a sec.
Okay. Jason.
Absolute Radio. Where real music matters. Good morning, you're listening to the Jason Manford Show on Absolute Radio. We've got the always very funny Jason Byrne on the line this morning. He is about to embark on his last stretch of his UK tour, Unblocked, which did incredibly well up at the Edinburgh Festival. He hits the London Leicester Square Theatre 27th, 28th, 29th of October this week before Liverpool, Durham, Leeds, Sheffield, Milton Keynes, Birmingham, Weston-super-Mare, Exmouth, Dunfermline, Glasgow, Newcastle and Salford. So he's getting absolutely everywhere. And it's quite an interactive show, isn't it, Jace? Is that fair to say?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, like, you know, I'm up there. I'm you know, I've got loads of stuff ready. But unfortunately, my audience, you know, they come along like a kind of village meeting. So they kind of join in, say something. And this was in Nottingham, because I hadn't been gigged in Nottingham for many years. And it was great to get back. And I don't know what I was saying. I was saying something to the audience. I can't even remember what it was. It was something like, you know... he's all from Nottingham or whatever. And this woman stood up in the middle of the aisle, like on her own, and she went, I'm here on my own because my boyfriend cheated on me. And then she sat back down again.
Wow.
I know.
I wonder, was he sat next to her, just still like adamant that he was going to the show? All right, love.
I know, that was like, and the audience thought she was a plant. Then I just thought she was a plant.
Well, you get 10 minutes out of that, yeah.
Oh yeah,
because I start the show like that, because I've been starting my show saying, you know, because people bought my tickets in 2019. You know, there's people coming to my show now who, when they bought the tickets, were like, "Oh, that'll be a fun night," and now are having to think about childcare because they've.
Oh yeah, God, of course, never thought of that. Yeah. But I mean, I'm okay. I've finished all those now. Those kind of, you know, repeaty gigs. I'm back in the norm though. But that woman did
the sort of split, yeah. That's so weird.
That Nottingham woman headed off home, and then I got another heckle near the end, and I says, with some other woman waving at me. I said, "What's wrong?" And she goes, "Oh, it's okay. She got home safe." And I went, "What?" And she goes, "Yeah, I just got her number. I got her number off her at the break to make sure that she got home okay." It's like
you. I mean, out of everybody, Jace, I've got to say you attract them.
Like I stood in the Apollo. You know the Apollo Theatre in West End, the smaller one. Show that one. Mm. You know that? Yeah, I stood there one night, and an old couple came in, and they were both wearing brown Macs, and the place was full. And they came down the bottom of the aisle, and they sat down into the front seat. They were the last in, and they were about 80 years of age, the two of them. And I said, "Are you okay?" And they went, "Yes." And I said, "I didn't know why." I asked this. I said, "Are you at the right show?" And they said, "This is Cats, isn't it?" Right? And I said, "No." I said that a couple of doors down. And then they said, I said, "Do you want to go back out?" And she goes, "No, it's okay. Well, hang on." So then in the second half, they were still there. The crowd were cheering. And then this happened. I said, "I can't." So I said, "Fair play for coming back." And she said, we're rather enjoying the swearing, she says, right? And I went, "Okay." And I said, "And does your husband mind?" And she went, "No, he's deaf."
Wow.
You're going to
bring
him
to be fair to him, Cats is, if you're deaf, Cats is the right show to see.
Oh, I suppose it's pretty visual.
It's an absolute.
Did you feel any pressure to sing a couple of numbers from Cats?
Well, I did. I don't know any. Jumping around as a cat. Only, yeah, I should have rang Jason straight away, Jason.
I'd have been straight in.
Could have sang it down the phone. Yeah, Jason. Do you remember? You know, Jason is brilliant at musicals, and I don't really understand them. I went to Wicked with Jason once. And we were sat there, and in the second half, I turned around to Jason and said, "There's a lot of singing in this." Do you remember that, Jason? And Jason thought, "Yeah, it's a musical."
Musical, Jason. Yeah, this is going to be a fun second half. Right, stay there, Jason. We'll come back to you one more time and finally find out about your actual show.
Yeah. Okay.
Very quickly, tell me, is it about anything? What can people expect when they come to see you?
Well, yeah, I mean, look, it is called Unblocked because I had me 5 stents put in, and we do talk about the heart stuff, and but it's funny heart stuff. It's not like, you know, really. So, I mean, to give you an example, one of my mates got a built-in defibrillator. You can look that up. Like a defibrillator that's actually built into him, and if his heart stops, the hospital can start it again, you know, via
like
computer
remotely.
And all.
Well, like an app.
Yeah, like an app. Like an app. Like a DJ app. So do you know what he did? Of course, being Irish, and he's very, very British as well. He headed down to the pub after he got one, and he said to the lads, "If I hit the deck, just leave me, because after about 2 minutes, I'll be back up again." The lads are going away to get one of them. Get me one of them. So
that's amazing.
There's loads of that. There's
so lots of
people getting up on stage, joining in. Lots of it's funny.
You've got to find the thing about the Brits and the Irish is that we're known for finding humour in the darkest places, aren't we?
Yeah, we really do. And I do realise, and I have said this, we love misery. We really do. And I was only there in Liverpool or Southport, and they're like, "Oh, you love misery." They're going, "Nah, no, we don't." But we are the only people in the world that go asleep to like an Alexa speaker, but we always opt for thunderstorms and rain.
That's when we're at most relaxed.
If we're going, a bit of misery, a bit of misery on the speaker.
Right, Jason, I'm going to let you go. Get on that aeroplane before security come over. Jason's show is this week at the Leicester Square Theatre in London, 27th, 28th, 29th. And then he hits Liverpool, Durham, Leeds, Sheffield, Milton Keynes, Birmingham, Weston-super-Mare, Exmouth, Dunfermline, Glasgow, Newcastle, and finishes at Salford Lowry on the 27th of November. Go and see it. It is the show. Every time I go to Edinburgh, I go and see it myself. I buy tickets for my parents to go and see him. It's a brilliant show, and you'll have a great time. And where can people get tickets, Jace?
JasonBourne.ie, Jace. I get that there. No problem. All the tickets.
There you go. All right, man.
Okay.
All the best.
Thanks,
safe
Steve.
Flight.
Thanks, Jace.
Take care, man.
See you later.
Bye,
man. Sunday
mornings, 8 till 11. Jason Manford on Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
Good morning. It's the Jason Manford Show on Absolute Radio. Steve Edge and me are here for a bit of this.
Queries from the
Queries from the Edge, and that voice is very apt this week because it's a Halloween-based
Halloween special. Yeah.
Question, yes. Yeah. If you want to get involved, all you got to do is email me at jason@absoluteradio.co.uk. It could be about anything. We're experts, Steve, aren't we? We're general advice guys, as we found out.
That's what. Yeah, that's what's on the business card. I'm going to get. Does machines still exist at service stations where you can print your own business cards?
Yeah, remember? I think they do. You know.
Okay, well, I'll get that sorted out this afternoon. I think.
I'm going to make you some. Okay, this is from Jake. He says, "Hi, Jason and Steve. It's that time again. It's time to have the dreaded conversation with my girlfriend. We've been together for 4 years, and each and every year around this time, we have a massive blow-up. She hates me. I resent her. We don't talk for days. Yet, she always wins the argument. So I need your advice, please. Every year, she insists on fancy dress for Halloween, and every year, I insist we don't. Right. I detest fancy dress. I feel like a prat. I look like an idiot, and I'm spending £40 on looking like a lion for no reason other than my girlfriend has told me to. So, knowing I'm going to lose the argument, can you and Steve come up with a cheap costume, preferably under £10, but free is even better?"
Okay.
I mean, Steve, you're not a dressy old
I'm not a fancy dress guy. I don't like it. No, it's my job is sort of dressing up, isn't it? So,
yeah.
Very idea. I remember going to a wedding once, and I had to... They got married, and then the next day they had a Halloween party, and I was like, oh, I've got to take two suits with me. And I just wore the same suit, put some sort of red circles on my face, and said I was, you know, Clyde, Bonnie and Clyde, and I'd been shot. I'm not a fan. No. Especially if you've got to get public transport. You know what I mean? Yeah. You've got to get on the bus and stuff in a hazmat suit. It's...
If you've got black clothes...
Yeah.
And you could wear like something black, black shirt, black trousers, black shoes.
Yeah.
And then all you really need is like a mask, don't you?
Yeah. And then you're
like a plastic kid's mask.
You know, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So that's
I think if you just paint your face a bit white, wear anything, whatever you do, let's say you're an IT technician, just say I'm a zombie IT technician. Wear your normal clothes, paint your face white.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
That's what I've normally
done. Could go, my favourite... of this, and I sort of mention this all the time because it's one of my favourite ideas, is a brilliant comedian called Andy Askins, who supported me on tour a few times and is very funny. If he's in your local area, please go and see him. But I remember him one year saying that he got a knock on the door, and when he got there, there was just two teenagers at the door saying trick or treat, but they were just normal clothes, no costume. Yeah. And he said, "What have you come as?" And they said, "Werewolf." And he said, "Where's your costume?" And they said, "Well, it's not a full moon, is it?"
Yeah, so there is that. Yeah, you can get away with that.
So you could do is go with that. Or just go as Dead Jake.
Yeah. Make sure it's not a full moon on Halloween, though.
Yeah. You'd be really... That'd be a nightmare.
Because imagine if you did that and the bloke went, "Yeah, it is." What? Yeah. Oh, didn't check. Sorry.
You know what you could do is just go as Dead Jake.
Yeah.
So just go as yourself, any clothes you would normally wear... And then just paint your face white, like, you know, and just go as Dead Jake.
Dead Jake. Reanimated Dead Jake. Yeah.
Reanimated Dead Jake. That's got to be less than a tenner. And also, at some point in the evening, you can probably pop to the bathroom, wash it off, and then just say it's just come off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's no point dressing up as... I mean, don't go crazy.
I've come as the Hulk, but I've come as the Hulk before he's the Hulk. I'm like Bruce Banner or David Banner, whichever one.
Of course.
I'm going to walk out. Like, honestly, you wait. At some point tonight, I've got my main costume. Yeah. And then by 11 o'clock, everyone's too drunk. And everyone forgot about it.
Also, if your wife or your girlfriend there keeps having a go at you, you can be like, "Look, don't make me angry. You won't like me when I'm angry."
I forgot about that. Like,
well, actually, I would like it's you not when that. You're angry.
It's, that was the question, wasn't it? We've got to try and find a way of keeping her happy as well. I forgot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's not just trying to chance his way out of it. He's got to do something.
No. I think Dead Jake could work, you know.
Or fully commit. Just go as a giant eyeball. It's just your feet coming out. You've got none of the shame because no one can see it's you. And just go for it. Enjoy yourself.
That's true. Well, I remember on those Jonathan Ross Halloween parties that I was chuffed to go to a couple of times. But there was always paps outside. So I would generally try and pick a costume that they didn't know who it was.
So when it was in the papers, they couldn't say, "Jason Manford's come as what the...
Yeah, exactly. So you just go in as something mad, yeah. So that they're quite good. Or just go for something really funny. Like, I mean, I know there's not very many funny ones knocking about.
Hmm.
But do you know what I mean? There must be some, like...
He wants cheap, though, doesn't he? He wants cheap under a tenner, he said, doesn't he?
Yeah. That's true.
Tricky, isn't it? Tricky.
All right. Well, look, best luck, mate. I hope some of our advice has helped, and anybody else out there who needs help, all you've got to do is email us, jason@absoluteradio.co.uk. Queries from the Edge. We've got a Sunday-based query from the Edge, Steve.
Oh, Sunday-based.
Yeah, a Sunday-based one. If you do have any questions, like I said, it could be absolutely anything. We've dealt with Halloween costumes this morning. We've chatted bin problems as well. You can email me, jason@absoluteradio.co.uk. This one's from Vicky, Steve, and it says, Hi, Jason and Steve. I just wondered if you could shed any light on the origin of the current trend that has taken over the presentation of a traditional Sunday roast dinner. Why, oh why, which is my favourite way of any letter to start.
Yeah.
Why, oh why, did somebody decide that perching a large Yorkshire pudding on top of the rest of the meal like a jaunty hat was a good idea? It does not work. The Yorkshire pudding is a vehicle for the gravy but cannot be used in this way from its lofty position. But put it on the plate where it belongs. Maybe there is a valid reason. Perhaps am I the only person who's highly irritated by this, but I feel I'm not alone in my distress. Yours,
okay.
Vicky. So, Steve, you're a bit of a cooking expert here. What would you say here?
I agree with her wholeheartedly. I would imagine, is there some sense that, you know, the veg on the bottom, the meat on the top, and this is what she's on about, isn't it? That when they pile it up and then the Yorkshire pudding with the gravy, is that acting as a little hat to keep everything below warmer longer while they're serving everyone? Is that what it is? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Also, I think...
You don't want your meat going cold, do you?
No, but it's a size thing as well, I think. Like, I think if it's your little Aunt Bessie, you know, your little ones, then that feels to me that it should be part of the plate and everything should go around it. And like you said, you pop the gravy in there and use it, you know, you dip it in there.
It's not going to be a little Aunt Bessie in a pub, though, is it?
They're big uns now.
Yeah, I know.
They're big uns, Steve. They're massive. They're getting bigger. They're 3/4 of the plate sometimes.
Well, maybe they should, because it's always in a sort of dish now as well. Maybe they should look into that and maybe they should make a Yorkshire pudding as big as the plate, put all the meal in it, and then you eat your way to the Yorkshire pudding. But you can eat around the outside.
I feel like I've seen that. I feel like that's...
No, there is a Yorkshire pudding. There's a wrap. There's a shop somewhere.
Oh, I've seen that as well, the Yorkshire pudding wrap, yeah.
What do you mean? I feel you're right. It's like a meal that's contained already. You can
buy that from Iceland. Yeah, in a massive Yorkshire pudding. I think that's a thing. Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, but the Yorkshire pudding wrap is something.
Not had one, but apparently, amazing.
Oh, mate, honestly, it's... they do it at a local pub in where we live in Bramall, at the Crown and Conspirator.
So they use it as like a fajita?
Yeah, like a burrito, like a Sunday dinner burrito, if you will. And, it's lovely.
More Yorkshire, so it's a burrito. More like that. Okay.
It's exactly like that, yeah. But it's, it's nice, man. I must say it's a welcome addition to the options on a Sunday.
Yeah, but this hasn't solved the problem. She's annoyed. So what?
No, you're right.
What is the answer?
Just as a side pot, you do need a little pot of gravy as well to dip it in. Just if you are doing the burrito.
Oh, if you're doing the big Yorkshire pudding.
Yeah, the Yorkshire pudding burrito.
The answer is two Yorkshire puddings. One is there as a hat to keep everything warm, like a silver server thing. And then there's a side one with you, which is your edible Yorkshire pudding. But you're getting a free Yorkshire pudding, essentially.
Two Yorkshire puddings. I think two Yorkshire puddings minimum anyway. If they're like, do you make yours fresh, Steve, or are you an Aunt Bessie?
Yes. No, I make mine fresh.
The thing is, when we do Sunday dinners...
How hard is it, man?
It's not hard. I'll tell you that. It's not hard, but when you're doing a Sunday dinner at 8, which it is in our house, 8, and that's just minimum, even if no one's come to visit. We did last Sunday dinner because my sister's over and we had family stuff. 27 people were there, Steve.
That's not a Yorkshire pudding. That's the old thing needs caterers, industrial caterers in.
I know. We did regret not getting anybody in to help us, to be honest. And the washing up, which took me 2 days. I don't think we can solve the problem, Vicky.
No.
All we can say is we agree with the distress that it causes. But I think it is a size issue. I think the little Aunt Bessies belong on the plate. The big, massive one, well, you've just got to put that where you can or go down
I will say, I think the little Aunt Bessie one is not the normal size. I think that's the little one. I think the normal size is the one she's talking about, as big as a saucer.
Yorkshire pudding? No.
As big as a saucer. It's not Aunt Bessie's size. That's too small.
That's a new thing. That's the last 5 or 6 years.
Aunt Bessie's are that size because that is the size of a little jam tart foil thing. That's why she's made
it. That's what they always... when I was a kid, that's what they were always that size.
Not in my head.
There's no way you had a before 2010. No way did you have a Yorkshire pudding bigger than maybe like an Aunt Bessie circle.
I disagree.
I'm calling
my,
you a liar.
The ones that I've got
right now.
The ones
Steve,
that I've got. It's about 8 inches. It's a square thing. It's about 8 inches by 8 inches.
You're talking now in 2022.
It's got four red. That's what that's for. That's what
everything
that's the
gets
size.
Bigger. Everything's got bigger.
It's as big as a Manchester tart. That's how big it is. That's how big I'm saying it is.
You don't mean like the mat, like the giant, like bigger than...
No, I don't mean it's not. No, it's they're about sort of, I'd say, 4 inches.
Right. All right. Well, look, we'll agree to disagree on this one. Okay.
It's not a fallout.
It's not a fallout. Hit me with your best fact. Woo! Fire away. Yeah. Come on. Whoop whoop. It's hit me with your best facts.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, it's time to hit me with your best facts. And thanks to our friends at Disney Plus, we have a Jason Manford Show mug to be won if you can wow us with your amazing facts. But, Steve, what are the parameters to win this game?
The parameters are we want a fact that is so tantalisingly good we need to Google it.
That's a good word.
That's what we want. That's what we're looking for. Something the drawer of the Google or BBC Bite Size, which is what the producer uses. Just to verify. We want more info. But also, it's nice if it is... current, like it's like this, it'd be Halloween based, or you know, that's coming up, or and then we could go, do you know, that's what we're after.
I love it. Last week's one was quite interesting, wasn't it?
About what was Rolex. It again?
Rolex being a charity.
Oh, a charity, yeah.
Yeah, it's not owned by an individual. A trustee of the foundation oversees how profits are distributed, currently owned by the Hans Wilsdorf Foundation.
Mm, okay, all right.
Interesting. So that was what won last week. I've not managed to get it into conversation, to be honest. Not much Rolex
tricky,
chat going
isn't it?
On on the school run. But let's see what we've got this week. Here we are. Gaz says, you'd assume the high five gesture has been around for centuries.
No,
you'd be wrong.
I wouldn't.
Gaz,
you'd be right.
You'd be wrong to assume that we would assume.
I don't think it's been around for centuries. I think it's like 70s or 80s.
Well, the high five was only invented in 1977, which is exactly what you just said. It was just incidental when two pro baseball players raised their hands in an
excited
gesture.
I thought it would be basketball
gesture.
For some reason. I don't know why I thought it was basketball.
Baseball, yeah. Two baseball players raised their hands in an excited gesture and slapped them together, as it seemed like the thing to do in the moment. The high five was born, making a gesture older than you, Jason, but younger than Steve. Oh, he slid that in there as well.
Yeah,
which
that's nice, isn't it? Wow. Yeah. Wow.
Wow. Well, Gaz, to assume makes an ass out of you and me.
And you and me, yeah. Mm-hmm.
If I recall that phrase from school. So, no, I don't think we did think it was around for centuries.
No, I thought it was something to do with sports, American sports in the 70s. That's what I thought it was.
That's pretty much where it's from, Steve.
Okay.
I don't have any image of, like, cavemen doing it, like Victorian dandies.
Caesar. Hail Caesar. High five. Give me one.
Someone high fives.
I didn't want that. No.
Like
Hitler
Caesar,
accidentally getting
below.
An high five. No, I'm doing the Nazi salute. Sorry, I thought you were high fiving me. You know, I didn't think any of that. No, none of that.
No, we didn't think any of that was a thing. You've got to get up early. You've got to get up early to get these right. Because we are now, let's be honest, Steve, we're
seasoned
fact guys. Exactly. Fact, guys.
Yeah.
Next load of facts incoming, Steve. Tina says wine was the first liquid consumed on the moon. All right, okay. Now we're back.
All right, okay. This is better.
We're back. This is the sort of level we're going to.
So they've got there. They've got there. Yeah. And they've gone, oh, that was a journey, weren't they? Past the water. And they're going, no. Because I need a wine after that landing. 7 seconds of fuel left before... They had like 3 seconds left, didn't they? Fuel before he touched down. He didn't want to land on the bumpy bit. Gives a wine. Gives a Merlot. You bought Merlot? Yes. We bought dried food, but you've bought a bottle of Merlot? Yes.
Shush. Do you think they drank it out of one of them tubes? They would have.
No,
they?
I think they had a bottle with a cork, and I bet it came out dead easy.
Cork's still flying around.
Floated up. Pass the corkscrew. Something above your head. Above your head.
One more zip for what?
Yeah, well, shut up.
Shut up, you. How come you get to go first?
How will they get out first? You shut up. Have you been drinking the Malbec? I'm starving me. I've only had some dried prunes.
Hammered on the moon.
There you go.
Yeah, the world's spinning here, mate.
Yeah.
Scott says, my fact is that your eyes see the world upside down.
Hang on, what?
Oh, I think, yeah, this rings a bell, actually. I think I've seen this in a school book where your eye sees upside down and then your brain interprets it and flips it up the other way around.
Why does it, though?
I don't know. It seems like a hard way round.
Well, I suppose gravity's going that way. So the brain's gone. You know, everything's being pulled towards the centre of the Earth. So if you drop something, it went up in the air. But then we'd be used to it, wouldn't we, if our eyes didn't do that? You drop something, it flew off in the air.
Why are you putting gravity into it? Are we still on the moon?
No, because obviously I'm working as somebody who knows that gravity exists. So I need things. I need my eyes to be this way around. But if we were born and we didn't have that bit.
What are you talking about?
Upside down. Why is the world? Your eyes see the world upside down.
The world's not upside down, is it?
But why have your eyes done that thing when they switched it and gone, that bit's got to be at the top, that bit's got to be at the bottom? That's what I'm saying. If we didn't know, we wouldn't know any different.
We'd just be walking on the ceiling and just thinking it was normal.
No, we still wouldn't be walking on the ceiling because we'd be walking in the same place, but we'd think we were walking on the ceiling, but we wouldn't.
You're really complicated.
We'd be walking in the same place, but we'd get used to it because we were upside down. We're not upside down.
Okay.
But our eyes are, but they're not. So, what was the fact?
I think he's won. I can't remember. I think we've got a winner coming up in a sex, Steve.
Really? Okay.
I've just read ahead and
Okay.
I'm going to build up to it, okay? But you never know with this game. Things can surprise you. Paul Taylor says, did you know London has a higher population than Wales and Scotland combined?
Really?
Interesting. I mean, it's a lot of... There's a lot of space, I guess, isn't there, in Wales?
And a lot of boroughs.
Scotland.
Including all the London boroughs.
Yeah. And Scotland, a lot of highlands, a lot of beauty spots.
There.
You
and
know.
Wales, the same, you know.
Wales,
lots of hills and, yeah.
Okay, good one. I'm going to throw one more out. It's another moon-based one, Steve.
Oh, I like a moon-based one, don't we?
Stephen Ills, Buzz Aldrin's mother's maiden name was Moon.
Get off!
What?
See? Hang on. So his name's Neil Moon.
No, Buzz Aldrin. Why would his surname be different? It's his mother's maiden name.
No, I know. But if you know, I'm just saying, it's quite mad, isn't it? That is quite mad.
Buzz Moon. He would Buzz if he's not Moon. Taking his dad's name,
he's
Buzz
not Buzz,
Moon.
Is he? What's his real name?
Oh yeah, I can't remember.
It's a nickname, isn't it?
Buzz Aldrin's mother's mate. Moon. Do you think that came up when they were hammered on wine? Hey, tell him what your mum's maiden name is.
No, I don't want to. All right. My mum's name was Moon. Moon!
And we're on the moon! Oh, that's a good one, that, isn't it?
I mean, that can't be. That's mad, isn't it?
That is mad, but not
as mad as Neil Moon.
Not as mad as you saying Neil Moon.
I heard the wrong astronaut.
I don't know why that tickled me so much.
What, Neil Moon's better than Buzz Moon, I think.
I think Neil Moon is better. You're quite right. Okay, sorry. Compose myself. What about this from Danny Walsh? Mr. Tumbles. You know Mr. Tumbles.
Mr. Tumble, yeah.
Mr. Justin Fletcher, yeah?
Yeah.
Mr. Tumbles
He's the
wrote...
voice of Shaun the Sheep.
He is the voice of Shaun the Sheep,
He's the voice of Shaun the Sheep.
Mr. Tumbles' dad wrote songs that were recorded by Elvis Presley, Ray Charles and Tom Jones.
That's good. Really?
That's good, Steve.
That is good. Oh, I'm in a quandary now.
And also it's making me want to find out what songs are.
Yeah, I knew who his dad was.
Danny's done well there, hasn't he? Because he's made us not. He's not given us too much information.
Okay. Oh, that's tricky.
That is tricky, isn't it? So I'm going to have a quick recap and then we're going to pick a winner. Okay. So Gaz told us about High Fives being from 1977, which we already knew. Tina told us about Wine on the Moon. Scott told us about eyes being seeing the world upside down. The London has a higher population than Wales and Scotland combined. That was Paul Taylor. And we had that lovely one about Buzz Aldrin's mother's maiden name being Moon from Stephen. But Danny Walsh gave us Mr. Tumble's dad wrote songs recorded by Elvis, Ray Charles and Tom Jones.
I need to know more. That's the one I need to know more of.
I think so too. Also, once you know more, because we've got kids as well, you know, and you've got a new little one, you're going to be seeing Mr. Tumbles a lot over the next few years. And every time someone's around, you can go, hey, you know his dad.
Also, we don't know what songs it is. He might have wrote Blue Christmas for Elvis. And then we've got that coming up. We go, hey, you know who wrote this?
Well.
You know who wrote this? Oh.
you do it in a really like passive aggressive way with your facts.
I'm not interested. Hey, be interested.
I think it's got to be Danny there, hasn't it? Danny Walsh, who we're going to send the mug out to, who told us that Mr. Tumbles, Justin Fletcher's dad, wrote songs that were recorded by Elvis Presley, Ray Charles, Tom Jones, and other international artists. Well done. If you want to join in at any point, all you got to do is email me, jason@absoluteradio.co.uk, and send us your best facts.
Jason Manford. Absolute Radio. Where real music matters.
Steve is livid.
I'm not. I've googled it. I'm not livid. No. Everybody said he's right. You know what did he say? Elvis.
So Richard. So Justin Fletcher's dad. This is our fact of the week. Justin Fletcher's dad wrote songs for Elvis Presley, Ray Charles, and Tom Jones.
Can't see the Ray Charles one coming up.
His dad was called. So we're just looking at it now. Guy Fletcher.
Guy Fletcher. He's got no BA.
So what? He wrote "Baby, You're Dynamite." That's a Cliff Richard song.
Okay, I don't know that one.
1984. He wrote "The Fair Is Moving On." That's Elvis from Elvis in Memphis. Fallen
it's
Angel.
It's the B-side of "Clean Up Your Own Backyard." I've never even heard of that Elvis single either.
Just Pretend. That's funny, isn't it? That he wrote a song called "Just Pretend," and then Justin Fletcher
just pretends. Yeah,
I think he does. Doesn't he do a TV show called "Just Pretend"? Lady Put the Light Out.
I can't tell the bottom from the top by the Ollies.
Another Cliff Richard song. Power to All? No. None of them are bangers, are they? Let's be honest.
No, but the fact is still the fact, isn't it? He has written songs that these people have covered.
Yeah. And With the Eyes of a Child, I feel like I know that one. Is that a Cliff Richard song? Fact is the fact, Steve. He's done well because he's made the fact sound more interesting than the actual reality, which is... That's a good trick. I like it.
It's a good trick. I feel like we've been having a go at Justin Fletcher's dad there. I mean, they're all very big, you know.
He's wrote more Elvis songs than us, hasn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. So, yeah, fair play. He's written more songs than us. We've never written one. So,
yeah.
He's obviously very talented. But we were hoping for, you know, Burning Love. Jailhouse Rock. We really wanted this fact to be massive. So, we can still slip that into conversation.
Yeah, but if they go, oh, which one did you write? You go, don't matter. Never you mind. Google it yourself. Have your own disappointing afternoon.
On Absolute Radio. Where music matters.
I've had an eclectic mix of gigs this week, Steve.
Have you? Where you been?
Yeah. Well, I did the Manchester Arena last year.
Oh, yeah. Hometown gig. What was that like?
Hometown gig. Yeah, great. It was, it was full, which is, you know, it takes a long time for me to fill that. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not complaining, but it's, you know what I mean? Like, you know, you sometimes see, like, Peter Kay or McIntyre.
Me,
or
I did
Kevin
it,
Bridges.
Didn't I?
Oh, well, you did it, yeah, you did it.
I did it as part of the Phoenix Nights thing, but yeah.
Phoenix Nights, yeah. Well, actually, you know, you would have been, I might even include you in that realm of people because those are the sort of shows where they go on sale and then they're sold out like an hour later.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that sort of thing. And then they go, oh, more dates added and all that. Mine, I put mine on sale in 2019, and it sold out about a week before. So it took like best part of 3 years, really.
It's a big place, though, isn't it? It's a big place.
It's a big place. Yeah. So I'm sort of in the circle of arena comics, but I'm not a relaxed arena comic. I'm not one of the comics who's like, oh, this will be fine. Should we put some more on? I just go, right, I do 12 and it's amazing, but all 12 of them is like a slog.
It's not the same, is it? It's different. It's not intimate.
It's not, to be fair. And I think that's part of the fun at the shows, I think. And also I do 260 dates. You know, I do theatres all over the place, you know. So when I'm in a 3/4 full Newcastle arena, and I'm thinking to myself, why is this? And I think, oh, yeah, because I did 3 nights at City Hall, 2 nights in Sunderland, I did Durham, Whitley Bay, like I've done everywhere that not people would normally come. But it was great. It was a wonderful night. Then we went out afterwards and stuff like that. Then it was, and then I had to be up 10:30 on Sunday. I forgot I'd signed up to play in a tennis match. I play for the fourth team, at Bramall Lane Tennis Club.
Oh, yeah.
And there's only 4 teams.
Oh, okay. The fourth team is the Wheel Tapperson Clippy Heel Club.
Yeah, it's exactly, Clicky Ankle Club. Yeah.
Okay.
It's the fourth team, and I also realised out of the 4 of us, I'm also in the B team of, so I'm 4B.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Well, he's still in the team though. That's what
still I'm in at, the team, it? Steve. Still in the team. So I was up doing that. But then to go from that Saturday night to Durham on Wednesday, which was 500 people. It was like, my head was spinning for the first 10 minutes of my Durham show.
Yeah, no, I bet.
I was all over the place, but it's a lot of fun. And actually, not many gigs left now. Not many left. We're Kingston tonight, and then Loughborough next weekend, Wakefield, a couple of shows there, St Albans, Middlesbrough, Oxford, Coventry, Exeter, Aberdeen, and then loads of Scotland dates, Falkirk, Inverness, Perth. And then we finish at, I'm supposed to finish at Manchester Apollo on the 24th of November. Right. But I actually finish at St Albans on the 26th, which I did ask if I could finish the gig in an arena. So they have come through on that, but it is St Albans Arena.
Which is
700-seater. But that'll be fun. That'll be a fun one as well. So do come and catch us on tour before it finishes. jasonmanford.com/tour.
Sunday mornings, 8 till 11. Jason Manford on Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
Thanks for joining us this morning here on Absolute Radio. Steve, what you got rest of the day?
Just 4 week. I've still got a 4 week old child, haven't I? So
of course,
I'll be doing that. I'll be doing that for the rest.
Still a baby.
He's still a baby. 4 weeks old.
Oh,
this week. That's what. Last week.
Gorgeous.
Gone.
Little baby.
Oh, that's little cool. That's baby. Gorgeous.
Little baby.
Gorgeous. I can't wait to see him again in a couple of weeks. When we're down for your 50th.
Yeah. Yep.
Can't wait for that. What have I got? Well, just gigs, you know. Kingston tonight. MRI scan on my ankle Tuesday. You didn't need to know about that. I'm just looking at my diary. Loughborough, Wakefield, you know, just gigs. Well, I'm everywhere. Come and see us, jasonmanford.com. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Enjoy your week. Grab the podcast if you can as well. And we'll see you same time next week here on Absolute Radio.